This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Back in Houston. Payne and Pendergast, 9 o'clock back in Houston. 10 o'clock here. We've been living an hour longer than the rest of you. Trust me, it's really good. Are you looking to the future? 10 o'clock hour? It's really good. Yeah, Seth and I, we're an hour ahead of you right now.
Yeah.
On the East Coast. So we're going to be heading out to the yard today and watch Ronel Blanco pitch against the New York Mets. The lineup is out. We get our first look at Isak Paredes and Christian Walker. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. We'll talk some more Astros coming up a little later on this hour. Your chance to win rodeo tickets this hour as well. John Pardee on March 13th. If you have been trying to get tickets, be listening later on this hour and you'll have a chance to win tickets. So we did the little exercise yesterday, Seth, of going through the Pro Football Focus top 101 players, which is a much more fun process this year and last year than it was the years before that, when it was basically Laremy Tunsil, number 89.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then there'd be no more Texans.
Yeah.
A lot more talented Texans now. Five of them made the cut. Laremy Tunsil, 83. Danielle Hunter was 68. These are the top 101 players across every position in the NFL. Will Anderson Jr., 51. Derek Stingley Jr., 43, and then Nico Collins, 25.
And the interesting thing about it is, I thought you laid it out well yesterday, where, you know, you argue about PFF grades, all of this, that, the other, yes. But when you start to add up total numbers of players and what their grades are, the Eagles had what?
Nine players.
The Chiefs had nine or so.
Yeah.
So if
the correlation.
If you could add a few players to that mix of players that are considered top 100 by that standard, you got a really good football team.
Yes.
And I think that's very, very achievable given some of the names that were left off the list.
They were left off. Yeah. I think if we're looking at next year and we go, okay, what are the Texans? If we look at it through the lens of this list and what do the Texans need to do to become a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah.
Then non-negotiable is C.J. Stroud has to be on this list next year.
I mean, Baker Mayfield was on this list this year.
He's 63rd.
Right, and he played very well.
He did.
But C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback. The potential, the ceiling for C.J. Stroud is much higher than I think it is for Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
I don't think that's not like a glaringly homerish take or anything.
No, and Jalen Hurts was 91. He was a Super Bowl MVP. So we're not asking C.J. to be 20th.
We're asking him to look a lot more like he did his rookie year when he had better pass protection and when things were – and he was also a rookie. So it was a precocious performance where now he's a veteran NFL quarterback. If you get the things around him right this year, and if Nick Caley is actually a good offensive coordinator, then I think C.J. Stroud will certainly be on that list.
And obviously the five that made it, we're hopeful they make it again next year. So C.J. gets you to six.
Yeah.
And you got it. And yes, like the quarterbacks that made it were all playoff team, like the high level, the high achieving teams. Their quarterbacks were all on this list. So C.J. needs to make the list. If I had to bet on one guy to make the list, Kamari Lassiter might be might be my bet to pop into the top 100 if he has the same or a similar type of season next year as he did this past year.
No, 100%. And I think a lot of it with Kamari Lassiter was that there was a growth process during this year where there were times in the first half of the season where he played a lot like a rookie. He got lucky a few times where he got burned pretty bad on double moves. And because Anthony Richardson is so horrendous at his deep ball accuracy, guys like that weren't able to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But he cleaned that up a lot in the second half of the season. And I think he also – my biggest concern with Kamari Lassiter was he was pretty handsy in college. He's not a pure speed type of guy. And I was worried that he was going to get himself into trouble by being a little too grabby. And there were moments like that. He got a lot cleaner with it as the season went along. And he flat out ended up producing.
Yeah.
He's going to get opportunities for turnovers because Derek Stingley plays on the other side of the field. But as a duo, those guys were so good. In a weird way, I feel like Kamari Lassiter, I feel like he didn't get enough credit as he should have for being the rookie who's playing opposite of Derek Stingley.
Because they're going to get targeted.
You see this all the time when there's a really good all-pro caliber cornerback on one side. The rookie's going to get targeted.
Yes.
And Stingley still ended up allowing one of the lowest completion percentages in the league when targeted. So he played very, very well. But somehow it all kind of got lost in the shuffle, and partly because of that inconsistency, I suppose, as a rookie. I would not be surprised one bit if he's on that list next
year. So Lassiter, Stroud needs to be on the list. Lassiter, I'm almost trying to cobble my way, Seth, to getting 9 guys in here next year.
Uh-huh.
Because, as you pointed out, the two teams in the Super Bowl had a bunch of guys on lists like this. The NFL Top 100 will come out. Same thing will be probably applicable to that, although that's based a lot less on analytics and film study than it is reputation. What about Joe Mixon? If Nick Caley has the effect that we hope he has on the offense, could Joe Mixon, and I admittedly I haven't seen, I got to look and see how running backs did in an exercise like this. Like Derrick Henry was 5th overall. Like I don't expect Mixon to be up there. Saquon Barkley was in the top 20 somewhere. But you start to get to running backs. Like James Cook was 76th on this list. You know, James Conner was 81st on this list. Like I don't, for the Arizona Cardinals, I like Joe Mixon better than both of those.
Right.
Well, maybe James Cook is really good.
I think the biggest thing with Mixon last year was he was hit in the backfield more than any other running back in the league with a certain number of carries. And there were times last year, too, where it started the same way bad pass protection can affect the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Poor run blocking can affect the running back, too. And I think there were times last year where Mixon was trying a little too hard to bounce plays instead of just hitting it. But that's what happens when you can't trust the picture in front of you. So just by virtue of having an offensive coordinator who actually gives a damn and knows a thing or two about run blocking because he's been a tight ends coach forever, hopefully that makes a difference.
Yeah.
That just in having a different offensive coordinator who actually doesn't just care about running the ball but actually is involved in blocking and scheming to run the ball, hopefully that untaps or unlocks another part of Joe Mixon.
Seth and I are looking at the Pro Football Focus Top 101. The Texans got 5 players in it this year, and we're talking about who could crack the list next year. CJ needs to if the Texans are going to make a deep playoff run. He needs to be that level of quarterback. We both love Kamari Lassiter making this list. The lowest rated running back on the list was James Conner at 81. And again, like I feel like Mixon's a better player than James Conner. And if Mixon is in that 80 range on this list next year, it probably means the Texans ran the football pretty damn well as a team.
You know, the biggest thing about the running backs in general is, I wish they were better pass protectors. Because you watch Saquon Barkley in the playoffs. Saquon had some
killer blocks.
In the championship game, he got away with a hold. But that's all right because they got hosed on what should have been a holding penalty.
Super Bowl, he was amazing.
Yeah.
I remember tweeting that or saying it to Amy like early in the game. I'm like, man, they're shutting down Saquon. But that dude... The deep shot they hit to Sahan to Jahan Dotson or whatever his first name is, 83, that they called a touchdown and then called him down at the one. Saquon's blitz pickup on that play was A+.
And that's coming after a Texans Chiefs game where in the fourth quarter, I mean, there were times where the running back was getting basically bulldozed into C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
There was nobody that was picking up the Chiefs, all credit to the Chiefs. They they are very, very good at disguising their blitzes and just throwing wrenches into your best laid plans. But the Texans' running backs were not nearly like the like Saquon Barkley was.
I would say this too, maybe so they got the five guys in the top 101: Stroud, Lassiter, throw Mixon in there just for the hell of it. What if there was one like Zach Bond is 11th on this list?
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't looked at who all the Chiefs are on the list, but maybe there's one on them for them that they picked up in the offseason. Like, if the Texans had a pick up this offseason,
okay,
like in free agency or a guy they drafted with the 25th pick that found their way onto this list. I mean, then, now you're – especially if it's a draft pick. Holy cow.
You know what?
Then you're laughing.
Given the way that defensive tackles have played better when they've come here – that maybe that it ends up being a defensive tackle that you pick up. Every year they pick up a journeyman type of guy, whether it's a Mario Edwards or a Foley Fatakasi or
Tim
a Sheldon
Settle.
Rankins or a Tim Settle. Oh, Tim Settle. Boy, he did some good stuff this year.
Yeah, he missed some games. That hurt.
He missed some games.
Yeah.
But he...
He's back. He's not a free
agent. I know. Yeah. I think there's still untapped potential. So it wouldn't be like Zach Bond where he comes in the first year that he's here. But Tim Settle could be the unheralded guy that all of a sudden just really blows up. Because he does, he moves, he's way bigger than you think he is. When I remember the first time I saw him in person at training camp,
I was like, wait a second. Yeah.
I thought, I knew he was big, but that's a big freaking dude.
Wide body, man.
And
yeah,
he's got a little bit of wiggle to him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he ends up being the guy that just blows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. That would be good. That might be, other than CJ cracking the top 100, that might be my, like if I had a wish, it would be like, the guy who cracks the top 100 for the Texans is not on this team right now. That
yeah.
kind of thing.
Dude, you know who's one of the – it's nuts. I'm looking at a list of the five top defensive tackle free agents. So, whatever. I don't care about the accuracy or not. But the fifth guy they have on this list is Calais Campbell, who is
– like 90.
Is he 40 yet?
I think he's in his late 30s.
He's so old.
But he's still productive.
And he's got that Lawrence Fishburne quality where from the time he was 23 years old, it seemed like he's 38 years old.
He turns 39. He'll turn 39 before week one.
He's still playing. Oh, my God. You know what? I feel like such a loser for my body feeling the way it does. That guy's
Calais Campbell?
Yeah, he's 11 years younger, and he's playing in the NFL freaking L. Oh, my God.
He's an outlier.
That's nuts.
He's an outlier. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text page. Do you guys think Derek Stingley could have been the original Travis Hunter at LSU if he played on both sides of the ball? It was the Pivot podcast that Stingley Jr. and Sr. Mm-hmm. did with Ryan Clark and company, Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder. And the old man, Stingley, said that was under discussion in his sophomore year, but that's when COVID hit.
Yeah.
He started getting hurt.
I mean,
it sounded like eventually it would have been a thing with Stingley.
I guess if that's a huge if, is that if he hadn't missed huge chunks of seasons for two straight years and then on into the NFL, I think that's where Travis Hunter really probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves just because this isn't baseball. Yes, very impressed with what Shohei Ohtani has done, obviously. I mean, it's unbelievable. But the number of snaps.
The physical toll.
The number of snaps that Travis Hunter took.
120 snaps on the regular.
And you got to factor into that, too. As good as he was offensively or defensively, he would have been that much better if he was just focusing on one side of the ball, if his legs could stay a little bit fresher and all of that. So I think from a skill set perspective, yes, Derek Stingley could have been that. From a physical durability standpoint, there's zero part of me that wants that with the Texans. I want him to focus on playing defense and then that's it.
Yeah, man. I don't want to jerk with the fully healthy season he just had. I'm totally with you on that.
I wish that they had continued to use J.J. Watt as a tight end back in the day. Partly because he had ball skills.
Two of his three touchdown catches were
like toe tappers.
Were like A-plus catches. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like he was just a gimmick that you throw in there.
No.
I felt like that was Bill O'Brien's ego. I feel like Bill O'Brien
he's the one who thought of it, though.
I know. I don't know why. Maybe J.J. didn't want to. After they used the Watt Cat when Will Fork was the fullback and J.J. Playing on, like, 17 torn groin tendons was the tailback on that?
Was he the ball carrier? Yeah, he was the direct snap was to him.
What do we call that? What's the what,
Wattcat.
We called it the Wattcat?
The Wattcat,
is that the standard definition
well,
at this point?
I mean, if you want to add in the curses before or afterwards to the name of it. There, a lot of people had very graphic descriptions of that play. But that you're right. That was the craziest part of that play is dude left the game later that game having to be helped off the field.
Yeah.
Because of all, like, his core muscles were all torn off his pelvis.
It had been going had, into
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, no, he was banged up.
Yeah.
He was banged up. So, yeah.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. This goes back to our conversation about the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how smart you are if you're delicious. True.
If the aliens ever come down, I feel like we're safe. We're grizzly old men at this point. Aliens are going to go after the veal, which is the guys guys that are in their late teens, early 20s.
Do we even know how tasty cuts of human are due to other species? I have no idea.
It's probably damn good if you cook it right.
Yeah,
what's
I
the
suppose.
Old Samuel L. Jackson? I'd eat a pork's whatever if you cook it right.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose. Yeah. Proper rub on it.
Yeah, red meat is red meat. I have yet to come across a red meat that I don't find delectable when cooked properly.
You know, our boss is cooking steaks tonight for us.
Yeah, let's pretend it's human.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast. How do you think he's going to do? Did you cook last time we were? Okay, so
Parker cooked. He has to work at a Chili's or something, or Applebee's.
Well, then he must be a five-star steaksman.
Oh, Red Lobster, excuse me,
oh,
sir.
Oh, wow. Oh, why would we just have steak?
I didn't know if you're...
There's a seafood market right over the freeway.
Cook me up some of them lobster biscuits.
I'll spring for the lobsters. We're going to Riggins Seafood Market right over the freeway after the Astros game.
Is there a Riggins Seafood Market?
Riggins Seafood. Well, it's a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I noticed on my walk yesterday over the freeway, they've got a seafood market right behind it where you can buy the cuts. Yeah.
Guys, I was a waiter. I wasn't a chef.
Yeah, but you watched. Osmosis,
I mean,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah, you're like Nick Cayley.
You can judge him.
I watched this guy call plays.
You saw people send their meat back when it wasn't cooked right.
Right,
it's
right.
True.
Yeah.
I can assure you that your meat is going to be edible tonight.
Okay.
It's really good. He's got asparagus in there and everything.
Wow.
He's probably going to do a little filet Oscar with us, right?
No.
Right?
No.
Just steak and asparagus, guys.
Come on. No,
Sean, go pick up some crab after we get back from the Astros.
I'm being serious. I will spring for some seafood dad.
Some hollandaise sauce.
Yes.
Whatever the hell that's made out of.
I want my steak Oscar style. Yes. Yes. Some delicious chunks of crab on there. Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
I won't
put it on the company tab.
And I'm going to go. Worry. I know. Listen, I heard the In the Loop guys acting like we're a bunch of lamos because we weren't out at the club.
Because we're not at the club.
Because we're not at the club until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
We're working, by the way. Yeah. We are working. So, we went out to eat last night.
We did.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
We almost lost Sean. Sean, okay, let me paint a picture for everybody. So... It's Adam Spillane, it's me, it's Sean Pendergast, and Parker Hillerson.
Yeah.
And Parker's driving.
Yeah.
I've had a couple drinks, you've had a couple drinks. So Parker is driving, but it's raining outside. So Sean and Adam and I walk outside while Parker is finishing up with something inside. But it's raining, so we stand under an awning in front of a storefront.
In front of an antique store. Yeah.
Which was also right in front of our car, our rental car.
Yeah.
So Parker comes out, we all pile into the car. And we sit, I get my seatbelt on, and Parker says, "Where's Sean?" And I'm like, I looked behind me because I was like, I don't know where he would be. And then I looked to my right where the storefront was. There's no Sean. He's nowhere in sight. Like, I'm starting, we're going to have to put an Amber Alert out on Sean.
Now I'm getting in y'all's shoes, and I'm like, that was a little scary, huh?
It's raining.
I knew where I was.
It's dark. I don't know what this neighborhood in West Palm Beach is like.
Right. It's Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
They could be vagrants or billionaire tax cheats. I don't know. That's all they got down here.
Yeah.
But you were gone completely. Where did you go?
I started walking towards the other parking lot where we parked last year.
We parked last year.
No, 2 years ago when we went there.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
That's impressive recall, yet complete idiocy all at once.
All at
once. That's impressive. You're like a mad scientist.
I was staring in the antique place. That's how I, you guys just got in the car. I'm like, look, I think my in-laws might like those ceramic cats right there.
Honestly, we were probably pretty close to just taking off. Because I don't think when Parker came out, he probably would have seen you there. He wouldn't have assumed. He wouldn't have assumed that the 54-year-old man was going to somehow get lost on his way to the car.
Here's the funny thing about that: is I walked down to the parking lot. I walked down the sidewalk to the parking lot, and a car that was exactly like the one Parker's renting pulled out of the parking lot and started leaving. And I'm like, wait. So I thought you guys did leave. Oh man. It's a very, very frenetic 45 seconds.
It wasn't
nearly as long as the story took to tell.
It wasn't like we were at Mardi Gras or something.
No.
It was really weird that we got separated from you
I had like five beers. It's not like I was stumbling around.
Yeah, you've been drinking a good amount. I realized that sometime during dinner, I was like, oh, Sean's actually had a few.
I had. Back
you
here
said
the
something
place.
That didn't make any sense. I was like, oh, all right.
I like that's the bar to know that I've been drinking. That implies that I make sense all the time.
Yeah,
when I'm sober.
Thank you. Yeah, you weren't slurring your speech or anything.
Thank you very much. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here in West Palm Beach. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us here. Be listening. Next segment is when we're giving away the John Pardee tickets to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Lance McCullers threw yesterday in the bullpen. How close is he? Yes, people, I'm going to say this. How close is he to coming back? That is next.